Coming to terms with the explanation of his mother's untimely death, Alex turns to a spiritual contact after the relationship with his father breaks down. As a student of metaphysics, Alex learns of the scientific premise of astral projection, where the ability to project your spirit into an unseen spatial dimension. Attempting to astral project, Alex becomes plagued by shadow spirits, malevolent entities vying to enter his body to access our world. Alex soon learns he is not the only member of his family to have been besieged by such beings, as his mother's dark past has brought to his attention. The film is called Astral, and it was co-written by Chris and Michael Mull, and we have with us today the director of Astral. That would be Chris Mull. Chris, welcome to Film School.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. So where did the story come from? Have you been a fan of sort of a film genre in the past? And again, how would you characterize the film as a...
So I would characterize it as a supernatural thriller.
Supernatural thriller. Have you been a fan of this kind of a film?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, for me, any form of thriller, I would say. It veers to horror genre tropes and elements, but not necessarily the cliches that I guess we often see today. And so I'm very much a fan of the kind of the Hitchcockian and Kubrick-esque thrillers and the psychological aspects and toll they have on characters.
Right.
So for me, that was obviously a bigger draw than the necessary jump scares that we often see.
And that's one of the real strengths of the film, is that it's very good at teasing information out of the characters and of the situations. It's very good at leaving the viewer's imagination to project into this realm what they choose to, which is always in some ways ultimately more frightening and more effective.
I think it can be very difficult. We found, you know, when we were looking at it and writing it, we found it understanding and visualizing a character's internal struggle is often one of the more difficult aspects of filmmaking. Because obviously, you know, a great deal of the film is about one character's journey and the difficult, be it mental or spiritual, struggles he's having, usually internalized. And so I think trying to find a way to allow the audience to see that whilst he's undergoing the struggle is, and keep them entertained and fulfilled throughout the piece is a difficult one.
Well, and a lot of what you're talking about really rests on the ability of your actor, the main Alex, to be able to...
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, and Frank Delane does a wonderful job. He's really quite a present actor. I found watching him that there wasn't a lot of affectations to his performance. He seemed a very kind of straight ahead, unencumbered kind of performance on his part. Talk to us a little bit about what you were trying to get him to do with the role, and because he does it beautifully.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were very lucky and fortunate to have Frank. He'd just finished shooting Fear the Walking Dead, which I think a lot of people know him for now. But that hadn't come out at the time we were actually shooting. He comes from a great lineage, and his father and his mother are fantastic actors. Obviously, his father's famous for Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
But he also studied at a very prestigious drama school, which is where my producer had seen one of his short films. And he was actually the first name on our list when we approached our casting director. And I guess things just kind of worked out for us. We knew he was very talented, and although he hadn't done that much, he came from this wonderful, talented family, and it was clear from a lot of his early work that he had a great deal of talent. And I think for us, I mean, we managed to shoot the entire film in 12 days, so the difficulty for us was we had complete faith in the actors and their ability to get as much coverage and work through the takes. Because unfortunately, particularly in the 12 days, we often had, you know, a limited amount of setups, and we would have three, maybe four takes, and we just had to have complete faith. And Frank really kind of came through. And I think also we were fortunate because when we first approached Frank, although he was our name, we didn't realize at the time that he actually had suffered from sleep paralysis himself, a form of of astral projection. And so that was something, when we found that out, that we allowed a kind of connection to the material. And it's something I discussed in great detail with him prior to actually undertaking it. So I think internalizing it was something he could actually emotionally connect to, and I think that really helped to come across on screen.
Was that did that manifest itself in allowing him to more latitude than you might have with another actor in terms of his performance?
I think understanding the emotional struggle for a character who is undergoing a sleep paralysis or some form of astral projection, particularly unwillingly, really allowed Frank to connect emotionally. And often the difficult part for any actor is showing that internal struggle externally or overtly. Yeah. And so I think that really helped Frank. I mean, we had a number of conversations on set, and I think that was something that I know he kept going back to and kind of finding in him, and was an emotion he was using to battle for the character.
I concur. He, as I said earlier, is very present sort of actor. He I felt like in these conversations he was having with his father, with the therapist, the professor, Alicia Hodge, the character in the film, very well played by Vanessa Gross. Terrific all around. Very kind of a youthful cast, with the exception of a couple of the actors, but. Very good. All of them are very solid. And you found the right sort of pitch for all of them. There was because it's a film that really relies on this slow burn.
Definitely.
And especially, and I'm going to kind of rip into some American horror films, because they tend sometimes the acting devolves into, you know, playing to the back row. And so with this one, it's as well as Frank, but also Vanessa and Damson Idris and everybody. It's a very understated performance, which lends that sort of the build to the film a lot.
Well, I mean, again, I have to say, I definitely have to thank my casting director for that. And we went through Frank aside, because obviously he was the name we had first on our list, but. Frank aside, when it came to the younger actors, a number of them had literally just finished theater school and were kind of coming out, and these were some of their first roles. And obviously Damson's gone on and done fantastically with Snowfall, and Vanessa's kind of, I think, had just finished Leatherface at the time, but was everyone was kind of very much an up-and-coming actor. And I think that pays, I have a great respect for our casting director, who really could see something in them. And really helped me to see that when they came in for auditions and kind of walking through the actions and the characters. Mm-hmm. And I think that really, the chemistry also between the actors. One of the very nice comments I heard and compliments recently was that the cast seemed to really feel as though they were friends. And some of that was also down to, although we were limited in our pre-production and rehearsal time, we did actually take an opportunity to take the cast out socially, particularly the younger actors, and just spend some time with them and get them to know each other. Yeah. So that by the limited time we had on set, we really benefited from a kind of more camaraderie amongst them, which made it feel a lot more authentic.
Right. And you had mentioned earlier this 12-day shooting schedule, which is, even by indie film standards, that is ridiculously short period of time. Usually,
very
18 to 24, 25 days is what you generally hear.
Yeah.
That 12 days, wow, that is, now again, a lot of this is interiors, a lot of it, is, but still, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, it was a challenge, and we became very creative. I mean, I guess very much of the difficulty comes with those, with a 12-day shoot is finding the right locations and trying not to move the unit too much, because obviously you lose time between moves. So thankfully, my producer and I went out and started scouting for locations. We actually found a fantastic, the first obviously is a very beautifully expansive Royal Holloway University just outside London, which we shot obviously a great deal with the younger actors for the university scenes. And the second, our second week, it was across 2 weeks, our second week was actually in one house, where almost every room in the house felt like an entirely different location. Obviously, we had a fantastic production designer who helped us to feel that even more. And so it allowed us to pretty much prepare for the next scenes. And I can kind of go from room to room looking at the production design, but then working with the actors whilst we were in takes. And so it allowed for a lot more productive set.
Yeah. And there's and it's also a film that doesn't have a lot of CGI in it. There's not a lot of extraneous stuff. This is a very kind of heady sort of film for a supernatural thriller kind of film. And so it relies, again, as I said earlier, you sort of rely on the audience to sort of fill in the blanks to see, to understand what's going on in their own mind as well.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted it to feel a lot more psychological, and I'm a great fan and a great believer in practical effects.
Yeah.
So I try where I can, and I genuinely believe actors are a lot, that their performances are always enhanced by practical effects. And I think for anyone, but even some of the greatest actors, staring at a green screen is very difficult to convey particular emotions when you're trying to realize it on screen.
Yeah. I want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with Chris Moll. He's the director and co-writer of the film Astral, along with his brother, Michael. Just a sort of a quick aside, and that is Frank Delane looks a lot like Johnny Depp. He looks like a young Johnny Depp to me.
Yeah, we've had. I remember when we first had Frank on this set. His look was very similar to the look he had on AMC's Fear the Walking Dead. And actually, we were contractually obliged to ensure that we didn't touch a hair on his head, because he was about to go away and shoot the second season. I've seen a number of photos, and actually the similarities, particularly between young Johnny, are striking.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. So for people who are wondering what we're talking about, it's a very handsome crew, cast you have here. So this is your directorial debut. What's your sort of background in filmmaking?
So I went to a small theater school and studied acting, and just wanted, before that I went to I went to university to study business, just so that I always had something to fall back on. But obviously the my passion for film and acting itself, and I was always more performing on film and short films and things like that. But I actually kind of became a little disillusioned whilst I was on sets, and I always see everybody busy, and unfortunately, and I have a great deal of respect for actors who sit around on set for long periods of time and wait. And I'm too energetic, and I have too much energy to allow myself to do that. So I noticed a number of people kind of moving around, and I started to learn more about the behind the scenes. And my brother, actually, we had a conversation. He introduced me to a Saturday film school, and from that I went to study a master's in independent filmmaking. And that was where, I guess, the journey kind of began. I've always been a huge film fan. I guess I never really knew that the behind the scenes prospect was something on the cards.
And what was it that sort of prompted you and your brother to write the script? And then where did you sort of find the wherewithal and the sort of the courage to say, all right, we're going to make this film? What was that like for you?
My brother and I had, we'd actually written a very, whilst I was studying my master's, my brother and I had written my first short film we'd written together based on a table conversation, which was actually a comedy. But we enjoyed the process so much. And my brother once told me that seeing words we had written realized on screen had this tremendous effect on it. So we continued to have these kind of ideas and talk back and forth. Unfortunately, after we were doing a small amount of, we were working for a while after I'd finished my master's in corporate filmmaking, we actually met a contact where the opportunity came up to finance a feature film. And we'd had this idea, this concept and treatment that I'd been working on for some time. So we began developing the idea, and kind of everything just spiraled out of control in very, very so much in a positive way. So before you knew it, we'd had the first treatment. I think it was around 3 months it took us to write and polish the script to a point where we were completely happy. And then within that year, January, kind of March, we were at a good standard of script that we were happy with. I started sending it to people I trusted, and kind of by June we were in pre-production, and in August we were shooting. So things came about very quickly, and I'm very much, particularly from the work I've done on short films, I'm very much a get-up-and-go, proactive. I mean, almost, I guess, also for me, this was very much a learning curve as well. And the prospect of shooting a feature is almost the same as shooting a short film just on a larger scale. It's almost how it felt. It's a far greater endeavor than I ever anticipated, but I've learned so much along the way. I can only thank everyone who was happy to be a part of it.
You know, I've heard that exact sentiment in the past regarding if you're going to make a short film, you really ought to consider making it a long-form film because it's with all the pre-production, all the things that you need that go into even just a short film, it isn't that much more. I mean, it's obviously a much, on some level, it's a much greater enterprise, but in for a penny, in for, what's that, in for a penny?
Penny, in for a pound.
In for a pound,
definitely. Yeah, I mean, and I think for us, it was whilst we were, I was my production partner, who was my producer at the time, and he's a writer, director. We always produced each other's material, and so I was thankful he came on board and agreed to take an even bigger jump into working on a feature. But the two of us have a very strong relationship, and things, and the way we work, we're very quick with finding crew and finding the right people, and I think it's important to surround yourself. But it's definitely, for me and for us, it feels the practicality of creating a feature is the preparation, the script, the act of finding the right cast members, all of those things, which are literally done on a larger scale when you're working on a feature. It is a lot more consuming, and often the difficulty, and I think that's why we forced ourselves to shoot it within 2 weeks. Obviously, our budget was somewhat limited.
Yeah.
So we kind of tried to stretch that as far as we could, but at the same time, ensured that everyone got paid.
Right, right. Well, in a way, you shot a feature-length film on a short film schedule.
Definitely.
So is there something about the supernatural, let's say horror genre, and that's not that's unfair to call your film a horror film, but there's elements certainly of it.
Definitely.
Is there something about that genre that just lends itself to a first feature? A lot of directors who have gone on to become household names started in that realm, and sort of, is there something about it that allows you, I guess, your imagination to go?
Yeah, I think very much so. For me, and I know a number of great directors, Ridley Scott, for example, with Alien.
Right.
The kind of, when it comes to, there are, I guess, with that particular genre, there are a number of generalized cliches. Or tropes that often work, and cliches, I know, can often be a harsh term. I always actually use the analogy that cliches are usually there because they actually work, and the term is used because it does work.
But
understanding the particular genre, it is one of the easier genres to understand, and I think for any up and coming director and or filmmaker, the act of understanding film is crucial to actually piecing it together. And so when it comes to a particular genre where you do understand drama, for example, I directed a short film as a drama, and I battled myself and creatively trying to find the emotional beats. And I think that when it came to this, I tried to marry up a little more of the drama and the psychological thriller aspect to a horror, mm-hmm. without using over the top cliches or traditional tropes.
I
think budget plays a large factor in that too. It's often the case that horror films, as they are, or supernatural thrillers to any extent, are a little easier to find the finance to, just because they're kind of readily made, and there is such a large audience to consume them, that I think it's a great opportunity that a number of filmmakers choose to use to begin with. And it's a great learning tool. Just as I said, just understanding the aspect of reading into film allows for that.
I agree. It's also a very dedicated audience, as you were just saying. I think that these are people who if you like this kind of a film, if you like, you're into this sort of genre, you'll consume a lot of it over the course of your lifetime. And the other thing is, I think this is a genre that lends itself to new faces, new actors.
Yes.
I think that so when you're talking budget, when you're talking about sort of the practical side of being able to cast, you can bring in unknowns because the less baggage about a particular actor who you can sort of pour your creative impulses into, who don't
Definitely.
People don't know, is probably a little bit more receptive.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, and I think that's where often you find, particularly in that genre or that those kinds of genres, is where you often find make or break performances that really shine through. And so I can't pay enough respect to my casting director who, yeah. when we were working together, for me, particularly in shooting in that time frame, it really is about finding the right people for those roles yeah. and to play those characters.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, it's a terrific film, and you did a wonderful job. I think the pace of the film is another thing I think is important to kind of point out. It's a nice pace. Again, the performances are uniformly great. This is something I don't like to say, but I've been saying it far too often lately, and that is the performances stay in their lane in terms of what the story needs in order to move forward.
So
congratulations on this. Again, it is premiering on the 23rd. It premieres in theaters, as well as it will be made available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Xbox, Fandango, Direct TV, Dish. It's all over. In terms of that, and you do have a name. I mean, Frank Delane is known as a known actor.
Yeah.
So congratulations on the whole package, especially as a feature debut.
Thank you.
Congratulations to you and your brother as well for writing
Thank you.
And so it packs a lot of punch.
I'm glad it's nice to finally share the film with everyone. It's been a long process to get it to this point and allow ourselves to start seeing audience members to connect with the material or to understand what it is we were trying to achieve.
Well, I thank you for your time today and for the film and for our conversation. The film, again, is Astral, and we've been talking with Chris Mull. He's the director and co-writer of the film, and we'll look forward to some future work. I hope you'll come back and join us again.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much again for having me.
Thank you so much. Again, Chris Mull, the film is Astral. Thank you.
Thanks.